Do you feel more than ever that you need to make a shift in your wellness? Listen to the podcast Inner Wellness with Dr. Naz Parsian. Let's make the shift happen.
Hello, Inner Wellness Seekers. Another episode. I'm here with an amazing guest. And guess what? She's coming from the same background of mine. And I'm so excited to hear about some really life-changing information. Karen Beecham is a registered nurse, diabetes educator, lifestyle medicine practitioner, and health and performance coach specializing in lifestyle causes of chronic disease. Karen's private practice, the Sozo Health and Performance Coaching, is in Newcastle, Australia, where she works with clients across the globe via Zoom. For more than 20 years, Karen has been a member of the health profession. In 2009, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which is known basically as MS, and it's considered as incurable disease. Choosing to challenge the status quo, she began searching for answers. She found recovery with the application of what she refers to as the 8 essential elements to optimal health. Karen has spent time researching and applying these elements to her lifestyle, and she began to experience her symptoms slowly reverse after 15 days. Wow, how exciting it is. Karen used to be where you are. She spent weeks watching her health deteriorate until she was introduced to the 8 essential elements that allowed her to reclaim her health. She's now passionate about sharing her secrets and teaching others what she has done so they too can achieve their optimal health. Such an amazing achievement. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you, Dr. Naz. It's a pleasure to be here and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Thank you to be here because this is actually so touching story. And I'm going actually to start with just, if you can give me a little bit of information about your story. You know, in your bio, I can see Karen used to be where you are. So can you tell us a little bit about where you used to be?
Okay, so I'm sort of referring there as far as the disease and the disease process and really not having the answers as to what to do next. When you're diagnosed with an incurable disease, you think, well, that's it. That's all I can do. I can't do anything. Yes, there's medications and I'm not against medications, but they weren't really going to cure me. So I had to go looking for answers. And I look at people today with their different illnesses that they have. And yes, medication helps, but is it addressing the underlying cause? This is what I question. So yes, I am, or I was, where people are today, where they're taking the medications which they need to, but is there something more they can do that's underlying their illness that once they address that cause, then they could, you know, maybe reduce their medications, possibly reverse. I mean, everyone is an individual with, you know, their bodies are, you know, it's their life, it's their walk, and they can find what optimal health is, what will be best for them, given a healthy lifestyle. So I think the question for me is, or back then, was what is a healthy lifestyle? And when I went searching for these answers, I found that the lifestyle that I'd been living was really not healthy at all.
Yeah, and how the whole, you know, the whole problem, you know, just how did it start? So what was the main, you know, what was the very first, you know, or how long you have been involved with MS and how long you have been under conventional, you know, treatment and medications. And yeah, just tell us a little bit about it, you know, or how, you know, it progressed, or, you know, how was the deteriorating situation?
It was interesting because I started to teach health in the community in 2005. And at that stage, I looked at health as just diet. You know, it's what we're eating. And I met a lady through a magazine, actually, and I contacted her because she had recovered from multiple sclerosis. And I wanted her to come and be a guest at my program and share what she had done. So when I spoke to her, she couldn't come because she was busy, but she did do her testimony on a DVD. So I played that DVD, and it was really life-changing as to what she'd done. So moving on about 4 years, mm-hmm. I then was stricken down with MS. So the first thing I did was went looking for this lady because I thought she had done it, and if she can do it, then I can do it too. So I soon learnt that it's not just diet. There are 8 areas in our lifestyle that really do need to be changed to be able to achieve that optimal health. So when I got MS, I went to the hospital a couple of times because they weren't sure what I mm-hmm. had to start mm-hmm. with. They thought it might have been a B12 deficiency, and then they thought it might have been a paralysis mm-hmm. tick, because my body started to go numb. So if you could imagine, it was actually Boxing Day. I was sitting in a chair and the phone rang, and I got up to answer the phone and my abdomen was numb, and I thought, oh, this is a bit strange. And being a registered nurse, I thought, oh, I must have just pinched a nerve or something. So I left it until the following morning, when it was not just the abdo, but it started to spread around the body. So I ended up numb from the chest down. So what wasn't numb was basically my head and my chest, or my back, my abdo, or my legs, my arms, my hands, my feet. And to liken what that feels like, I mean, many people can sort of sit on their leg or their foot in a way where, you know, they go to walk and it's numb and they have to shake it around to get that sensation. Well, that was what my body felt like. So the hospital wasn't sure, because MS, I mean, people suffer different types of symptoms. So that was my first symptom. I had a lot more come after that. But so I thought, well, I have to do something here. So I tried to get in touch with this lady. I had a little bit of a trouble to start with, but eventually I caught her, and she had moved house. So that's why I had a few problems finding her. But I went and stayed with her for 2 weeks and learnt what she had done. And interesting enough, everything that I did is all biblically based. And I look at that now and I think, you know, that's probably why society doesn't know too much about good health, because that's a book that nobody's reading. So so when I research those principles out, they are sort of supported by research, and it's become a discipline now in the medical area. It's called lifestyle medicine. So it is recognized, and that's what I applied. It was the lifestyle medicine. It was years before lifestyle medicine started, but I never went on any medications. I thought, no, I'm not going down that line. I'm going to just do lifestyle change. Good. So I was a little bit non-compliant in that area. So I refused. They did offer me a Rebif injection, but they said it's only going to give you maybe a, off memory, I think it was about a 50% chance of not having a relapse. But there was some side effects to that I didn't like the sound of. So I thought, no, I'm just going to say no. And I went marching off, looking into other things. And that's when I really learnt the real areas that we need to apply to our lifestyle to have that optimal health. So my neurologist back then sort of said, well, because I call it the Garden of Eden lifestyle sometimes. And he said, look, we don't know anything about that. And that's fine. I mean, that's a different type of profession. They go on their medical-based information. But I think we need to get to a stage where we need to start to challenge the status quo and not stay in the box that our disease puts us in, and start looking at what else is available out there that can help us in our recovery.
That is actually so interesting that, you know, we in our system, you know, I've been in the system for 25 years or maybe more. And I've been teaching actually, you know, for some years. I had this condition in my teaching. I was teaching about MS. I remember that when I was teaching, we basically focused on medication and, you know, those GABA receptor inhibitors and those sorts of stuff. And also, you know, the interesting point is we do talk about lifestyle, you know, in teaching, in the system. But what's the reason that even when we talk about those things, even when we talk about holistic health and, you know, person-centered care, which is basically, you know, a common topic these days in the healthcare system and education, what's the reason that we are still practically fail? And I really believe that we are still the victim of disease rather than, you know, being the master of disease and just, you know, make the changes. What do you think about it? You know, what's the gap here that we talk about these things, we talk about holistic health, we talk about lifestyle, but practically, we don't. So you actually, you know, personally involved with the situation and you didn't get the right response back from, you know, medical team. Is that true? You didn't get, you found yourself. Why is that? What's the gap here? And what changes, you know, we definitely need to make in because that is so important. It's about, you know, it's about people's life. What do you think, you know, how we can make those changes and what are the gaps?
I think when I look at lifestyle medicine, the new discipline now, more and more health professionals are coming on board with that. And that is a worldwide thing now. So if people are looking for a doctor, if they inquire as to one that is qualified in lifestyle medicine, they will look at the lifestyle more than just giving out the drugs. But, you know, other doctors, they're doing what they're qualified to do and they do it very well. And if people don't want to change their lifestyles like I did, then they're going to need the medication. So I think it comes back to how people think. Like, I know the statistics that I used to share, and they're going back to, you know, around 2008. There was about 50% of Australians aged 15 and above thought that they were in very good health. And, you know, you had 75% of those people still reported that they had one or more comorbidities. So they had one or more, you know, diseases. But I think those statistics are showing that we are accepting of disease as we age. And we're not realising that 70% of our diseases are caused from an unhealthy lifestyle. But the problem is, what's a healthy lifestyle? And I think that's the information that's not being correctly shared, or it's so hard to find. And that was what I went searching for: what is a healthy lifestyle? So, yeah, look, I think doctors are doing what they're trained to do. I think we need to take more control of our health. We need to start looking for answers outside the medical system. And until we find something that works, you know, you work with your doctor. I do believe, you know, you might be on a blood pressure tablet until you find the answer to hopefully reversing that. Then you need your medications until you start to implement a change of lifestyle. And then you work with your doctor to try to take that medication and reduce it as your body starts to heal itself. So, we have to be very careful not to shun all doctors, but to work with them and to be more proactive in our own recovery and look outside that box that disease puts us in, because we are so accepting that, hey, that's my lot in life. Old age brings disease. That's just the way it is. And sadly, that's not the way it is, and it doesn't have to be.
That's a bad belief system, you know. You know, I'm a fan of, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton. You know, I'm not sure if you've read the book Biology of Beliefs, because it's certainly 100% true that our beliefs can affect, you know, even our genes behaviors, because, you know, our beliefs can even manage the pathways, you know, our nervous system pathways. So yeah, it's very interesting point that you mentioned that the attitude and the belief that disease comes with aging. This is something that, you know, we basically order our body to act on. It's kind of then, you know, you order to your body, okay, you're old now, you're aging now, you should have disease.
That's right. Yes, yeah. You should. It's interesting. I go to the doctors and I don't go very often, but when I do, they expect me to read out all these medications I'm on. Well, you know, today's my birthday, actually. I'm 58.
Oh, happy birthday. Yes.
And I'm not on one medication. I don't have one disease except MS, which I don't say I've cured. I say I'm recovered because I believe that if I go back onto the lifestyle I was living, my symptoms will come back. So it's a lifestyle change. It's not something like a diet that you can go on for short term, get your recovery and then go back to the way you were. Because if it's the lifestyle that you were living that gave you the illness and the ill health, then obviously it's got to be the lifestyle that you have to change and keep changed to be able to get that optimal health.
Absolutely. Everything needs to be ongoing and consistent. That's right. Consistency is the key, because we just need to be responsible for our own health and our own life.
That's right.
In every
absolutely.
Moment.
Absolutely.
All the time. Yeah, that's a very good point. So you said that you recovered after 15 days.
Yes.
That is so exciting.
It is. It took a while, but I saw the recovery happening after 15 days.
Wow.
So the numbness started to fade away. It took some time, and I'm talking a couple of years, and I still to today have slightly numb hands. So that never ever left me. But I had quite a number of different symptoms. As I said, I got my first bout of MS on Boxing Day 2009. I had a relapse on the 10th of March 2010, and that introduced another symptom, which is called Lemitz. And that's when the doctor sent me off to be diagnosed for MS, because I fell within that 3-month period, which was one of their flags of MS. So I went and got diagnosed by a neurologist in Maitland in New South Wales, and that was around September. And yes, I do have MS. And I thought, okay. But I had already started to reverse it, so I was happy to continue along the line that I was going. I've had one relapse since, and that was in about January, February in 2018. And that was my fault in the sense that it was stress. When you allow stress to take over,
that's a main cause.
Then that is what caused that relapse. And that was that put me in hospital for 3 days. I had optic neuritis, where I was losing the sight in the right eye. That vision has come back now, which has been, I'm very thankful for that. But it just shows me that, you know, stress will cause disease. You know, I've always managed normally to handle my stress, but it was just, I suppose, too much stress, or I forgot how I normally would do things and just tried to take over and fix issues that couldn't be fixed. So now I've managed to deal with that, and very few things stress me now, because I realise the effect it has on the body.
Yeah.
So that's a part of those 8 essential elements. Stress and forgiveness and things like that. So I've never been on medication for it, and I haven't had anything wrong since, you know, that relapse in 2018, which was, you know, 9 years since I had first got MS. So I'm doing very well without the medications, and I believe I'm keeping it at bay with these 8 essential elements. Yeah.
Excellent. That is,
it was good
amazing.
Though, that relapse, because I had another MRI and it showed that I haven't had any new lesions, and the lesions that were in the brain and the spinal cord were a lot less bright on the actual scan than what they were when I first had it done.
That is so interesting. Yeah. So yes, you definitely, you know, mentioned the stress. This is actually something that I talked about it in few episodes in my podcast. Yeah. And yeah, this is something that I'm doing as well, you know, in my program all about the stress healing, because I certainly believe that stress is one cause of many diseases. Many diseases, and you know, including all mental, physical, and everything. Yeah. So yeah, you tell us a little bit more. You know, we just constantly talk about lifestyle, and I can see eight essential elements. You know, these things. Just tell us a little bit more about these things, or maybe you can, if you can, start with a clear definition for the audience about lifestyle. What is exactly lifestyle?
Okay, so lifestyle is what we do with our bodies, what we put in with in our bodies, how we treat our bodies. So the eight essential elements, the first one is sunshine. And we do need sunshine, but it's the amount of sunshine and how we get that sunshine, which is which we have to be careful of, so we don't get any of those melanomas and things. But we do need our sunshine. The other
and
one
direct
is
sunshine.
Yes, direct.
You know, not the clothes, or just, you know, behind the window.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I don't promote sunscreens as well, because one of the things that I did when I first got MS was to remove all the chemicals out of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that was bags of things being thrown in the bin, because when you think about it, you know, when you look at your conditioners and your soaps, your shampoos and the things that you wash up with, the things that you wash your foot, you're getting all those chemicals in your system every time you're picking those up. So I removed all that, and that included the sunscreen. So if I'm going to cover up, I cover up with clothes or something, or just keep out of the sun.
Yeah.
But I do have
And also, it may prevent, you know, the correct absorption of vitamin D. But we need that vitamin D, and I'm sure that there are quite a bit of evidence about the relationship between vitamin D deficiency and MS.
Absolutely. Yes. And vitamin D doesn't stay in the system. It's something that you need every day. So we need to have our sunshine every day. So that was that's one of the essential elements. Another one is water. Are we drinking enough water? I know back then I had more cups of tea, and a lot of people think, well, I'm drinking something, but no, you need to have just the water without the tea.
Yeah.
So that's really important, and that's something that we're not getting enough of. And what type of water we're drinking and how much we drink, when we drink, they're all important areas in our lifestyle.
So you're suggesting filtered water?
I do. I use the filtered. I have my own filter because of the chemicals in the water. I don't like the fluoride or the chlorine and things like that.
Yeah, I have
that.
Mine too. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all filtered, absolutely. Yeah. And the other one is fresh air. That's really important. It's not always easy where you live, but there are things that we can do. And an example would be, as far as, you know, we close all our windows up of a winter time and we never let a fresh air come through the house. Where we need to learn to open those, even if it's in a room next to the room you're in, just to have circulating fresh air, because the air inside the house is more lethal to us than what it is on the outside of the house. So that's another essential element. And another one is rest. We burn the midnight oil far too much, and I am being guilty of that at the moment because of all this work that I'm doing. But normally I'm in bed by about 8:30, 9 o'clock, because the healing powers are given to us before midnight. The body will heal more before midnight when we're asleep than what it will after. So it's important to get those hours before midnight are more important to us than what they are after midnight. So getting that full 8 hours sleep, but going to bed early is you know, promotes health as well. So I suppose it's when the sun goes down, really, we should be thinking of retiring. And that's not easy, because so many of us are up until midnight, and we're not getting that effect of the body recovering during those sleeping hours.
So do you think that, for example, if people go to bed late and then wake up late, what do you think about it?
They're not getting the recovery that the body will get from the hours before midnight. I think the hours before midnight are worth twice amount, like a double amount than what they are after midnight. So you're better off going to bed early and getting up early. I used to go to bed, well, normally go to bed at 8:30 and I'd be up by 4 in the morning. And it's a different type of lifestyle, but you feel great. And, you know, you're adding to that optimal health when you're doing these things, because that's what the research is showing, that, yeah, it's more beneficial, those
does
hours.
Does it affect, you know, that kind of, you know, we say, what is called, is it the circadian
circadian rhythm.
Does it affect that? That's interesting.
So I was doing permanent night shifts when I got sick. Mm-hmm. So I can see everything that I was doing was really bad for my health when I did get MS. And I was doing...
Night shift is horrible. Yeah, I think, you know, the only time that I did night shift was in my undergrad, you know, when I was an undergrad student. And just a couple of hours after that, we're very new grad. And then... I quit and I said no night shift anymore, because I actually got migraine from my night shift at the very, you know, very early ages, you know, at 20 year old. Sleep is very important. That definitely needs to be in the right time. Thank you. Go on, please. Next.
Okay, so another one is exercise. Mm-hmm. There's always something we can do. It doesn't matter how sick we are, there's always something we can do. And, you know, doing at least half an hour to an hour of exercise every day, that is really going to help your health. And I know the other lady that's recovered from MS, strangely enough, she's got the same name as me, had the same profession. We have the same type of character, born in the same month. It was really quite scary.
Freaky.
But she couldn't do much of anything. She was very debilitated, you know. She was sort of told she needs to think about a nursing home. She was 47 years old at that stage. And her exercise just started walking around a house, and then she ventured out to the backyard. And before long, she was then walking the beaches. So it's about pushing yourself to do that little bit extra and allow your body to adjust. So I know when I first got the MS, my right hand wouldn't work properly. So I used to make myself squeeze one of those stress balls just to get it going again. So you're fighting against what the body's doing to your fighting back. And everything, you know, came good. But so exercise is hugely important, and I don't think we get enough of that today either with the lifestyles we're living, the employment we're living, that we've got, you know, the sedentary lifestyles. So,
and what kind of exercise are you suggesting?
Look, I don't promote going to gyms or anything. Not everyone can afford that, and I definitely didn't do that. I'm not a real lover of sweating it out in a gym. I love just going for walks.
So, me too.
You know, just walking in nature, you know, it's a real de-stressor, and I've always loved it. So, you know, get yourself a dog, because then there's an excuse to walk. If you can't have a dog, borrow somebody else's and go for a walk every day, because it's really important to your health. Absolutely.
Have it gone through
eight? No, there's diet. Diet's another one. Diet. Well, that's the big confusing one, I think, for so many people. And we've got so many different diets. You've got the paleo and the keto and the Mediterranean. There's so many out there. So what is the best one? And when I was at uni last, we did a research on this, and it came back the whole food plant-based. So that's basically a vegan lifestyle or a vegan diet, but it's a healthy vegan diet where we only eat whole foods, plant-based. So we're getting rid of all the refined foods, the process, the salts, the sugars. We're having things in their natural state, and that promotes health. So the research is out there, whole food plant-based diet is the healthiest diet you can be on.
This is something a little bit challenging for me. And how do you, because I'm a fan of, you know, animal protein too, so how do you cover, you know, those animal proteins?
Well, plants have their own plant protein. So if you're living, we always say moderation, variety and balance. So when you get that into your diet, then you're getting the amount that you should, that you need. I think sometimes we worry about, do we get enough iron? Do we get enough, do we get B12? Do we get enough protein? But the body doesn't need the amount of protein that we seem to think it does. I think off memory is about, a piece of meat the size of your palm of your hand is the amount of, you don't need any more than that. But we're adding the cheese, the milk, the eggs and everything else on top of that. We are having too much protein, which is really introducing or leading to an increase in osteoporosis. So plant proteins, they're in all the plants that you can get the proteins, enough protein, what the body needs. I've been whole food plant-based diet since 2005.
Oh,
so it's not something new. It's just that I had other problems that I wasn't doing in those eight essential. Mm. Or maybe it was a little bit of an unhealthy, probably more a vegan lifestyle instead of a whole food plant-based one back then. So if I always get a blood test once a year to make sure my levels are okay. Mm-hmm. And look, I've never had a problem. Never had a problem with any of that. So you can just by making sure you've got variety in all the food groups, you've got a balance of all that, and you're eating in moderation.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people, you know, are vegan or just, you know, doing plant-based. Yeah. I never been, you know, for a couple of years, actually, you know, I think I used way less animal proteins. And yeah, and to be honest, I just, you know, got a problem with B12 deficiency. And then I got back to the animal proteins. And yeah, but I definitely stick to sugar and carb, you know, limitations, because I'm not saying no carb, no sugar at all, because it's too much, you know, restriction. But I definitely, you know, reduced it massively, and also I actually cut off dairy as well. Because and it helped me a lot, you know, with a lot of gut issues and also my migraine. It helped me a lot. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but I know that, you know, I'm really, you know, interested to know more about, you know, those.
There's a fantastic website called nutritionfacts.org. And that's a doctor, Dr. Michael Greger. He saw his mother get very sick, and this is the sort of area of medicine he ended up deciding to go into, is just to pull all the information on nutrition, because he only sort of looks at nutrition, and he pulls it all in, the research across the world, and they sort of look at it, critique it, and then throw it out there on his website. And it's an amazing website. You know, you can look up diseases, you can look up all sorts of things, and the latest research is there to show us, you know, what we're looking for. And he also promotes a whole food plant-based diet. That's what the research is saying today. Yeah. So we know that the diseases are coming through the animals. So we need to be very aware of that.
It's another perspective, you know. What is next?
So it's always good to have some research to go back and have a look at. So I do recommend to have a look at that website. So there's one called temperance. So temperance is, you often hear the saying, you can eat everything in moderation. And you can eat everything good in moderation.
Exactly.
And we're to abstain from everything bad. So we need to have an understanding of what is unhealthy and to remove that from our diet.
Exactly. It's not about everything in moderation. It's about right things in moderation.
That's right. Yes. Right things in moderation and abstaining for everything unhealthy. And then the last element is trust. And that has a number of different areas. I teach forgiveness because a lot of the time we hold such resentments on things that have happened, and that will really interfere with your healing as well.
Absolutely.
So learning to forgive, also learning how to deal with stress, and also learning how to give those things that you don't know how to manage to a higher power. And for me, that is God, and I just throw everything onto him. Everyone has their own beliefs, so just being able to give those concerns, and that way you can be stress-free. So that's the last one, and I put that under trust. So they're all the eight essential elements that have given me back my health.
I love this last one, because it is indeed very important. I'm not sure if I told you or not, but I did a project, actual project on spirituality and medicine, spirituality and health. And people with diabetes type 1, they actually found that when they connect with themselves, with their inner true powerful self, they actually were able to manage diabetes. It was so interesting that the measure of BGL, blood glucose level, and HbA1c changed when they... This is so important. I really love the last one, because when you trust to you, yourself, a lot of things can change. Amazing. Absolutely. Eight steps. I really love it. So I think now the audience is quite familiar with what is lifestyle. What is truly the lifestyle. So it's slightly different than what we can find easily in any other books or any It's basically more experience based. So
it's really going back to nature, isn't it? It's just natural remedies. It's not where you have to go and buy little supplements or little things in bottles and things. It's not about that. It's just, how much does sunshine cost people?
That's
how much does fresh air to open your window?
Because we are natural beings. And a lot of diseases indeed that are usually called disease. A lot of, diseases or just, interruption in our comfort and ease state happened when we distance ourselves from nature, from our natural core being. Because a lot of time we are involved with so much, as you mentioned before, chemicals, the manufacturing stuff, So we are kind of separating ourselves from our core. So we need to get back to it.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Okay, so I really enjoyed, chatting with you, Karen.
Thank you.
Because I think, you actually made an amazing and so powerful transformation in your own life. And now you want to help others make that transformation in their lives and in their health, which is definitely something that we need in our, especially current world. So do you have any recommendations, or can you relate what you learned and what you experienced and what you teach other people? Can you relate them to the current situation, this virus? And, I don't know if there is something, some specific recommendations that you can give, audience in relation to the current situation.
Okay, so we know with research that those people with chronic diseases, and there is a list of the different diseases, things like respiratory, heart disease, diabetes, just to name a few.
Yeah, cancer,
Yes, cancer is another one.
And respiratory, all chronic, you know, like...
Yeah, chronic, where they know today that anyone with those illnesses, if they do get COVID, then they're going to have worsening symptoms than other people, which could lead to death, which, you know, I look at that and it really disheartens me, because people need to be more proactive, you know. They really need to start to look at how they can have another line of defence. You know, we've got the distancing, we've got the vaccination if people choose to do that. We've got washing our hands, but what else can we do? And that's what I'm at the moment really promoting.
And basically, I think, you know, all we do, all we are suggested to do, it's suppressing our immune system rather than improving.
Yes. So there is more as far as, you know, this lifestyle change, because it does show that if you can have a healthy body that can fight disease, you're going to be better equipped to fight this this pandemic if you do have a chronic illness. So at the moment I'm actually promoting that. I'm doing a webinar and I'm going to be running these on a regular basis, but my first one is next week on Wednesday.
So next Wednesday you will have a webinar more specifically about this topic.
Specifically about this topic and looking at the eight principles and how they can reverse, or you can treat your lifestyle causes of your disease and be the healthiest you can be. So that's what it's all about, is being you at your optimal health, and that's different for each person, but at least you know you'll be the healthiest you can be, and that's all you can do. There's nothing more we can do. So I have started that, and I'm also going to run off those as a 3-month, I'm looking at 3-month coaching program, because I know I've been teaching this now since I got MS. I started to teach it in the community in 2011. And the one feedback I always got from people is, you've told us so much information. How do we put it into our lifestyle? Because it was just too much. And they just thought, how can I get all this in my lifestyle? So now I walk with them over a 12-week period. And we meet once a week for about 90 minutes. Yeah. And I help them implement what I teach into their lifestyle. So then they can live it and they can be at their optimal health. So. I really think we need it now. We're seeing so many diseases. The medical profession doesn't have the answers. And not only that, it's being a real financial burden on the medical system because of the amount of illnesses. And to do something that we can be proactive in taking control of our own health is going to help in so many areas. And it is research-based. It is lifestyle medicine. Doctors are learning more and more about this. They do have to do their own extra courses, so not every doctor is qualified in
this. I think, you know, they definitely need to.
yes, because it works.
Because I think, you know, what they do basically is quite black and white, and definitely it needs to be broader and more comprehensive, you know, considering the whole life, not only disease. that's interesting.
Well, we want our quality of life back. It's all right to live to being 70, but what's the point if for the last 10, 20 years you're confined to a chair? You know, it's about not always length of life, but quality of life. To be able to do things, you know, and we do have a certain amount, we do have control. We've got to just get that education, and it's hard because you just don't know what to believe out there anymore. But what I teach, as I said, I've given the eight principles, there's no expense in that. So it's not going to cost people it's a just change of life.
It's just about attitude, and it's just about the right attitude. It's just about right choice. Right choice for your life. It doesn't cost.
And just the knowledge. I mean, have you ever heard of the research called the Pottinger cats? Have you ever heard of that one?
No.
It was done back in 1932. It was done over a 10-year period where Pottinger actually fed 900 cats, and he divided them into two different areas.
Uh-huh.
One were given the raw food that they should eat,
yeah.
and the other was given processed.
Yeah.
And he followed them through four generations.
Uh-huh.
And the ones that were given for the raw food, they were all healthy generation after yeah. generation.
Yeah.
But those that were fed the processed, refined, what we'd call probably the junk food today,
yeah.
which we know is,
yeah.
They were slowly had more and more diseases over their four generations.
Yeah.
And the fourth generations, the kittens were, well, they had problems with them actually be able to have litters.
Yeah.
And if they did, they were stillborn. So this is sort of, you can sort of see how that sort of can relate to what we're doing to our bodies with our food today.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone away from the natural foods that we should mm-hmm. be eating, and we've taken in all these processed things. And,
yeah.
and you know, it is, it's killing us. It's causing disease.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
And that study was very interesting. And yeah, it sort of showed that if it's doing it in cats, then yeah.
Oh, I can imagine what, you know, can happen in human generation, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so important, so crucial. And yeah, you're right, you know, we just need to expand our vision in our medical system, because the way that we run the medical system and, you know, healthcare, everything, it doesn't work anymore, you mm-hmm. know,
mm-hmm.
because we see that a lot of, you know, and we cannot actually, you know, run away
mm-hmm.
from diseases. We cannot run away all the time from viruses, mm-hmm. from diseases, you know, and I think, you know, the way we, unfortunately, the way our medical system chose at the moment is basically focusing on saving lives,
yeah,
as you mentioned, rather than improving quality of life.
Mm. Mm. That's right.
So yeah, it's working amazingly in mm. emergency situation, but mm. definitely not in chronic.
That's right. I was just thinking that acute, very good.
Yeah, mm. and not in primary yeah. healthcare, like, that's, you know, right. prevention yeah. from viruses. Or
yeah.
no, there is not.
Yeah.
It's not
so
working.
You know, what we can't see can harm us, and we need to have a level of health that can fight these diseases off as best we can. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, Karen, I know that, you know, we are both nurses for so many years, and we have mm. so many things to talk about, you know, and especially because we have both experiences in both, you know, both, you know, systems, both sides of
mm.
this, spectrum.
Mm.
So the conventional medicine in one side and the holistic, absolutely
yeah.
holistic care on the other side, that we definitely need to shift to that side.
Mm.
We all know about it, especially in this current condition, that the world needs more than ever to focus on these holistic mm. aspects of health, and lifestyle certainly is the key. So I'm so pleased that, you know, I had you for this, you know, episode on the podcast. But just let us know, or let audience know about where can they find you? So where are you, you know, in social media? Or
I do have a Facebook page. I do have a Facebook group where I do share things there, so there's people getting information, and they're also getting anything that I run in
so
put on there. I do some
name?
Live ones.
Is it under your name, Karen?
No, it's under De Souza, I think, but yeah, I'll give you the link, and you can pop
yeah,
that
and
up
I can
if you
put
like.
In the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, and also a website. Probably the website's the best thing, because the website has the events coming up. It has, you know, the links to the Facebook and different things, and the ability to contact me. So probably best to go to the website, which is DeSouza
Coaching. Yeah.
DeSouzaCoaching.com.au
is your website, and also I can see that you have you have a link for your next week webinar as well.
Yeah.
So I will put that link, you know, in the show notes as well for the audience mm-hmm. if they want to register. And I think that's free, isn't it?
Yes, it's free. I do the 1 hour one free. It's only if they want the help later, the 3 months, that's when there is a cost to that. But I always do the introduction for free.
Excellent. Audience, please just register to that free webinar because I'm sure that you will get a lot out of it. So thank you so much. You know, my tradition is, Karen, just to finish the podcast with one, I don't know, inspiration or one really powerful advice or just one last sentence, you know, whatever you want to share in one sentence, one last sentence to just end the episode.
Wow, what could I say? I think there's so much I could say, you know. But I think if I go back to the first thing I was ever told when I spoke to that other lady about my health, she said the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you forgive others and you take that stress, and again, it's coming back to the stress, take that stress out of your life and you've got that forgiveness. And it doesn't mean the person is innocent for what they've done to you, but you've just distanced yourself from that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can do that, that is the first step to recovery. So again, it's coming down to that stress and that hurt that we carry and we continue to carry, and it's just causing such dis-ease, you know, in ourselves to start with. So that was the first advice she gave me, and that followed in the next sentence was to clear all the chemicals out of your lifestyle. They're the first two things. So so sort of making a nice clean canvas to start implementing those changes of the eight principles.
I love what you said about forgiveness is the first step for your recovery. Thank you so much, Karen. So if you don't have anything, do you have anything else to add? You know, I would like actually just to finish with that sentence, because the sentence was really powerful. So I appreciate your presence, and I'm sure that the audience definitely will get so much value out of your talk today. So until then, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nass, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and I'm very looking forward to hear from you for any inputs, suggestions, and also your subscriptions. Thank you.